As I judge others, I am judging myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. As I judge others, I am judging myself. I oftentimes think how I look at another person and I would like to have them do something. And I say, would you do this for me? Or would you do this? And they say, I don't know how. Now, why is it I am putting into the mind the words of the other person, I don't know how? Why is it that I go to them asking them to do something and then I have them tell me, I don't know how? Why am I judging them before I go to them that they're going to say, I don't know how? Because I know they're going to say that I don't know how, because that's what I am aware of before I even go to them. Now, why would I do that? Why would I do such a silly thing? Why would I judge another person as not knowing how to do something when I would like to have them do it? Now, say, for instance, I say, Sylvia, edit this story for me, would you please? And bring out the best features of this person's writing. Bring out, try to maintain their style of writing, their quality of writing, their words or phrases, but just give a little bit of professional polish that makes it look a little bit better for them. And so he says, I can't do that. I cannot touch another person's writing. I cannot touch another person's something that they have written from their heart and from their being, because it just is not my nature to do that. And I said, well, Sylvia, it's our nature as editors of the magazine here to go over every piece of literature that comes in and make sure it's according to our style, according to the program that the magazine espouses, and everyone would write that way. Now, Sylvia, instead of saying you cannot go over it and make little improvements here and there, say, I would be happy to go over it and bring out the best that this person is bringing out. To bring out the best by sometimes just using a word fully instead of a contraction. A lot of people speak in contractions. I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't know how. I cannot do this. I do not know how to do that. And the contraction makes it a slovenly thing. It has become acceptable in the English language, and it's something that's usable. But in quality writing, you don't do that. You don't do that. You do not do that. In quality speaking, you do not use contractions. They are a simplified phraseology that is being used throughout the world, and in every culture they contract words and they make single words out of plural words and so forth, and they think that it speeds up the reading, the writing, and the hearing of the language. But not necessarily. But so I say, Sylvia, we write with quality here. We write with dignity. We make sure that all of our words are spelled correctly. We make sure that all of our typewriter letters have come down. When we type A-L-L, the two L's come down, and they are not one missing because they are so lightly touched on our computers. But just make sure. Well, do you think that that person that you're going to be editing their article, do you think they intended to say all A-L-L, or do you think they intended to say all A-L? Well, of course they intend to say A-L-L. Well, then put it on there. Don't leave it off so that they will be thought to be that's their mistake, or they'll say, no, it's the magazine's mistake, it's the newspaper's mistake. I oftentimes covered news stories when I was a news editor and reporter of newspapers in different cities. And as I would be an editor and reporter, I would go out and I would sit at council meetings of the various city councils. And sometimes the people in the council, the members, they were normal human beings. They'd get bombastic and they'd get bad language that they were using, and they would say things that were really pretty hot, really pretty bad, pretty rotten. And I would be taking my notes. And I would take notes in a little notepad, which was no more than, say, 2.5 inches wide by about 4 inches deep. And I would take notes in that notepad for the entire session of my lecture, the council meetings, with all of its varied topics and all of its varied things. And I wrote rather small, but I wrote clearly that I could read it and follow it. And to make sure that I was able to read what I wrote, I would immediately go to my offices across the street from the city hall, and I would go and sit at my desk. It'd be 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and I'd sit there and I'd rattle off from my memory and from what I wanted it to come, what the topics were. And I wrote the article and got it in the paper. And so the councilman would read what I wrote in the paper, and they'd say, "My gosh, I'm sure glad you didn't say what I really said." "Didn't I? I said what you really said. I just used a little better grammar than you did. I left out all your swear words. I left out all of your bad grammar, because that was not who you really were. You were looking for the best interests of the government." My mother would always say, "Words cannot hurt me. Whenever I swear, whenever I use bad language, it just shows that I have a poor vocabulary. I have a limited vocabulary." And I did not want to show that any of the councilmen had limited vocabularies or were limited in any way. And while I polished it up and made it nice, I did not take away from the content, the impact of what they wanted to say, without the swear words, without the bad grammar, because that, as my mother always told me, was the lack of preparation, the lack of thinking before you spoke. So we have a most interesting thing. I judge others as I judge myself. Well, I judged each of these councilmen as being exquisite speakers, exquisite grammarians, exquisite men who knew the English language and used it very beautifully. And I must confess, having spent several years in writing the council meetings, all of the councilmen, little by little, cleaned up their language, they cleaned up their vocabulary, they cleaned up everything, and then people started coming and attending the council meetings more than they had before. And there was more of an interest in it, because just because I put a little polish on what these fellows were saying and what these fellows were doing, I didn't change anything. I just made it say what they really had in their mind. And I listened, because I knew what they wanted to accomplish and what they were saying. Truly, I was judging them, but I was judging them according to how I was judging myself. And I was listening to what they were saying, and I was hearing it in fine grammar. I was hearing it in fine rhetoric. I was hearing it in fine presentation that made them sound like they were really Socrates and the great philosophers themselves, coming forth with their didactic that was utterly magnificent and amazing. Yes, I judge others as I judge myself, and as I judge myself, I judge others. Now, I judge these councilmen by the fact that they wanted to do what was best for the city. They wanted to do what was best for the community. They wanted to bring forth what was best, but they got so excited sometimes they forgot and used poor language. But after years of having me being their voice, being their word to the public, because I took what they said and gave it to the public, as years of that, their own language stopped being bombastic, stopped being crass and crude, and they too improved. They too improved to a very high and glorious degree. And it's a very wonderful thing when you stop and think about it. The ability, as to we judge others, to judge their finest and their best. So Sylvia was judging the finest and best of each of these students whose work she proctored, and of their work that she made little notations on, always not telling them what they did wrong, but just putting the correct word in there and letting them see the correct word there so that they'd know that, oh yes, that's what I meant to say. Oh yes, that's how I meant to be. And you're judging them that they are judging themselves to be the finest and the best and the most beautiful of anything that they could ever be. This is who we all are. This is what we all do. And this is all that matters in our life. As I judge others, I am judging myself. And I was judging this city councilman, and I was judging myself. And it was with a judgment that was made them into the most beautiful, acceptable people in the city. And they ran for re-election again and again and again. And they were good men. Good things to judge right, but be very careful that you judge with a loving heart. I love you. I love you. I love you.